So Ismar is smiling, talking about your two roles in life, Ismar, professional student and primary caregiver to your mother. Would you agree with those two roles in your life? Or is there a third one? Latent philosopher?
Whenever you use the word rose, it's a noun or a verb?
It's a noun.
I wouldn't say that to take care of my mom is a rose because for me it wouldn't be a problem if my sister share her needs with me. But as they don't share, it's a problem. It's my part is not a problem. The part that my sister's part is a problem.
Yeah, the lack of the yeah, the lack of support.
But it's something that I don't know how to solve. Probably I will hire another lawyer to sue them. I don't know if it's possible in the next days or at the beginning of the next year. I try once and no good results. And about the second rose, I say that because at least in Brazil, when we say you are a retired person, it's not something good. People look at you if you are an I would say something like a nothing or a person that doesn't serve for anything else, that you get up late. You only watch TV and stay on your sofa
Yeah, couch potato. A couch
and
potato.
drink and drinking beer all the day. And it's not my view of retirement.
Couch potato or relaxing after 40 years of hard work or something like that. So that's what basically your angle on this discussion. Ritesh, we're taking a slightly different angle with you. But it is connected. Talking about family relationships, tradition and transition, you are this is a recurring theme between you and me, the traditions of your culture, but moving into the 21st century, whether it's good or not, etc., etc. Showing care. And so on and so forth. So I'm going to start with you, Ritesh. I start with with the following. In your own experience, how do ordinary people, and maybe there's a difference between northern Indian and southern India, cities and rural areas, but how do ordinary people in India, show care without openly talking about emotions? And that's the first part of the question. And the second part of that question is, how comfortable are you with that style?
So first, I will take my example, right? So for me, I'm not a person who shows emotion, okay, verbally, right? If something happens, I feel that I don't have word or experience to go and explain or say something. I feel that at that moment, being present counts everything instead of saying something. For me, for others, I feel that they try to convey their feelings, thoughts in words. I will give an example that recently, my uncle, I say that my mother's brother, okay, we have different name for each relationship in India. Okay, so he passed away. And what I can do, I can go and talk to his sons. I'm not going back to my native. So for me, just calling them and talking to them. If I'm far away, for if I'm close to them, near to them, or physically, if I can be present, I can. What I can say that is it is fine. Everyone is go through this cycle. It's not a first thing, but I don't do those things. But I have seen so many people expressing those feelings, be it in pain or happiness also. In that case, I can say being present to for emotional need, and people have a different emotional needs, right? But how you can express best is to be present with them in their sorrow or maybe anything, happiness, sorrow, and yeah.
Isma, so in your role with your mother, can you describe an ordinary moment in your, I don't know, daily or weekly routine with her that carries a lot of emotional weight with you?
My mama has three kids. My sister say that she likes me more than her, but I don't agree. Although they don't help her, I think that she likes more my youngest sister. But when I say to her that I'm going to my home, I can see your sad, her sad sight as asking me, "Don't go, don't let me alone, because your sisters won't talk to me, won't stay with me, and I stay here alone." For example, my mom lives in this room that he lives nowadays, and my youngest sister lives in front of her, and in 5 years, my sister only have a meal together with my mom and me and others, and no meals with my mom in 5 years. And then when I go to my home, she becomes sad because she knows that she'll be alone till I come back. I think it's terrible, and because I don't know if I will see her again alive. because she's 87.
Okay, so I'm just because our mothers are a very similar age. 80, your mother's 87. Can I just repeat this to make sure that I understood this correctly? Your youngest sister lives in the same complex or in the same building as your mother, and she has never had a meal with her in the last 5 years. Wow. And your mother feels saddened when you leave her apartment or her house to go back to your own apartment because of this feeling of loneliness. Yeah.
Yeah, for me it's the worst moment. Although I have some quarreling with my mom because parents always think that they have to rule their kids, and it's something that I don't like. But it's not something that attach me much than when I go to my apartment.
What about the other sister?
I don't know. I don't know why they think that only me have an obligation to take of her. I don't know why. And
Okay.
survey, I wrote a letter and I will send to them maybe today something like a apprehension. And as I told in the next few weeks, I look for another lawyer to, I don't know if the correct verb is to sue or to prosecute them, to oblige them to share at least some parts of my mom's activities. What's correct to say, sue or to prosecute?
Well, to sue is a little harsh. It's a very delicate situation. I would probably use the word force to force them
Fourth,
to
okay,
reconsider.
thank you.
Yeah. Sorry, I mean, I'm just trying to get my head around this. The fact that you want to write a lawyer, the lawyer can only act within the conf within what the law has stipulated. Is there a law in the Brazilian legal system that forces people to look after their parents?
There is. And I don't know if I told you, in 2022, I hire a lawyer, but he told me that I couldn't ask for the law to force them to take care of my mom because no one is obliged to take care of others. And I told him, oh, why not? There is a law about that. But you can't ask for that. Your mom can ask for that, but not you in name of her. And the judges gave me a negative. I think that the lawyer didn't do a good job. Then I asked her for free law service maybe 4 months ago, and they phoned them, and till now they didn't give me any answer about what happened. And in the next 3 weeks I will go to see how it can happen. If not, I will hire a new lawyer to force them in the court.
Okay, Ritesh, I have difficulty comprehending this. when you hear Isma's story, what are your thoughts? What can you say to this? I'm not saying that it probably doesn't happen in India. I'm sure somewhere in the 1.2 billion people you have similar situations. But from your own personal perspective, with your own personal value system and your own personal experience, what do you say when you hear Isma's story?
It's sad, and I don't imagine, especially for daughters not caring for their mother. In India, I see the case. Maybe in my village, or in relatives and everywhere. Daughters are more attached to their parents, especially mom. And we have different scenarios here that the son have their properties, their parents' property, and they don't share with daughters. It is a normal case, general, and not a rule. And they took everything. So you know that in India, all parents, they save for their children, and they try to give everything to them. And at the end, what they see that they are not taking care, and who takes care for them is daughters. They go, they take them their home. We don't have concept of it was not there that people used to send their parents to the elderly home or somewhere. They will take their home, them at their home, and they take care. The cases are coming. We generally see that their sons are not good, and it's very sad to hear his that they are not taking care. Generally, it might be a other way around. Daughters are taking care, and they are saying that his son was not taking. Her son was. He is not taking care. But here the case is different. And we have plight of elderly people, especially mom, because the daughter-in-law, especially, they are very bad rapport with their mother-in-laws. And they don't take care. So daughters, generally, they take care. In India, recently, maybe a year ago, there was a judgment from the Supreme Court that yes, if you don't want to take care of your mom, daughter, father, or anyone, they are free not to give their property or share of the things to you. They can give anyone, and they can take care. They can take care from them, and it generally does not happen. We are having this problem, the family background, breaking problem, right? Suppose I am in Bangalore. I don't have enough money or enough space to bring my mom here. Even if I want, okay, because I can't take financially, I don't have ability to bring them here and take care of them. And even if I'm going office, who is going to take care? In that case, if you look at the data in India, the people who are very rich, they are living in US, they are living in other parts of country, and they are only single son, and they have enough, and they are good, but they are not taking care of their mom, dad, and they what they do, they go to this older, it's kind of charity. People are taking care of you. They give money to them, and they are taking care, especially religious places. We don't have formally those old age homes. And this is in Indian sense, like they say that parents are like God. If you don't believe in God and you worship your parents, are you are worshiping if you are believer. And there are so many stories, and But it is happening. Maybe I don't know why. And especially the plight is with the if you the mother has only one son or daughter or something. She don't have anyone to fall on. Okay, so in the case of Ishma, right? If he mother has only one son or daughter, what she can do if they are not taking care? Okay, but she has a choice. But in India, we see that only son and daughter, they have more plight, or we can say that hardship. Other case is having multiple children is also a burden because they see that he's going to take care. Why should I take care? Okay, and it's become a not a it's kind of a job for them, not for the respect or at least thinking about the mother or father that they carried for them 9 months, or even you had a little cut or something, they took take care. Like I go home and and when I leave home, right, my mom starts crying, and I feel that emotion. Even I'm not going somewhere, I will come back, and I can understand his mother when he's leaving, and the feeling, that emotion. I will tell you that once my colleague, one of the colleagues, she was going US, and we went to drop her to airport. And when she was going inside the airport, her mother, not father, but her mother started crying. And I don't know, I started crying also. It's not because she was leaving, because I remembered my mother. Because whenever I come from home to Bangalore, or when I was studying in somewhere else during a semester break, or even for the
Lost Rita. And he
Yes, I'm back.
is back. Yep, he is back. Okay. Okay, so a lot of emotions in this
Yeah.
scenario.
So, yeah.
Okay.
So, I
Rita.
have never seen my father having that emotion.
Yeah.
Yes,
Okay.
but I can understand my mom's emotion, and I can feel whatever he's saying.
So there's a bit of a lag in the line here. So Ritesh, this question is actually for both of you, but I'm going to start with Ritesh. When you both grew up, how did your ordinary family relationships teach you when to speak, when to stay silent, and when being obedient was more important than being honest? Yeah. Ritesh, look, if you go back to the time you were living at home, when did you learn it's best to when you could speak, voice a protest, and when was it better to not say anything, and when was it best to be obedient and not be honest?
Most of the case, it was a obedient. It was kind of our value system, or I can say the upbringings in Indian culture. So, if you in my generation, I can say safely that obedience is the most priority. If you are my father and you said something and I raise my voice, no, it's wrong. It's my disrespecting you. I'm not giving a respect. So
Mm.
even you said anything to me, I'm just listening. I'm not talking to you anything. In my case, if I have a protest, I will go back to my mom, say something, and it's not a direct route, but a third party route. You are going and reaching out to, you are trying to amend his whatever he said, or you try to just get a concession on that part. Other speaking, not a speaking, and it was never a thing that you speak for something. Generally, I remember when I did my 10th and I got a good score. So that time I called my father. He was not at home and he was attending some marriage. He asked, like, okay, how much percentage or something. He was not keen up about percentage, but he asked. And then he asked, like, what do you want to study? Science or social science? And that time he gave me a choice that whatever you want to study, he's ready for that. Before that, going to a school, which school you want to go, it's their decision. You can call. I used to call my mom and ask something if I want to do some extra classes or tuitions. But I'm looking at everything. It's always obedience before anything else. In my case, I don't know. They were more strict because of the firstborn, or they wanted to get out something they missed, or they wanted to achieve some certain things in that sense, I can say.
Difficult question. At some point in the future, you and your wife, there will be the pitter patter of tiny feet in your home. Would you both repeat the upbringing of your parents in your own upbringing values? With a focus on obedience, or would you be a little more tolerant and allow for a healthy exchange of topics so that the child can learn to fight its own corner, for want of a better expression?
I like discipline, people are having a discipline, but not too much. Like, you don't give freedom. The ideas, what I see, that for me, I feel that there can be a little bit discipline, but they should have a freedom. From my wife's opinion, I see that she is more about freedom, giving them whatever they want. If they want to do anything, so it will be a combination of everything. I feel that we need a little bit discipline in every aspect of life, and I can add those values while growing up. The kids are growing. But no one knows like how things will go, because looking at the my situation, like people are going 9 to 5 work, and you come to office from office to home. This was not the case for my parents, my father or mother, because they were, and we were in joint family. We were living my uncle, what do you call it? My father's sisters, five
Your aunt,
sisters,
your aunts.
yeah, aunts. So they used to like I remember three of them growing up, and I had a lot of connection with them and my grandparents. But this will be not the case for my kids, because only they will see occasionally their grandparents, and aunts they are not going to see frequent. and we will be both there. So it will be a different case for them. But I see that there will be some changes. I'm not going back to my parents' style of parenting.
Okay, wait and see. Record this conversation for posterity, Rita. And in 20 years' time, when I'm in my mid-80s, we can revisit this and then we'll see what has happened. Yeah. Isma, in your own personal hierarchy at home, the family has evolved to this situation where you are in severe disagreement with your two sisters about the care of your mother. The disagreement to the point where it's reaching a legal level. You want to write to a lawyer the second time. If we go back to the origins of this, when the three of you were living with your parents in the 60s and the 70s, how did you learn when to speak up, how and when did you learn to stay silent, and how important was obedience for you or for your parents when they raised you three?
My parents weren't or isn't well educated, and most of what they did in learning day by day. For example, my mom has to run from her parents away to get married because my
Yeah.
grandfather didn't want that my mom married to my father. And they get married early. My mom was 20, and my father 24. I would say that my father was very liberal. Maybe till 8. We called him as EU, and in my generation, it wasn't allowed to do that. And one day he thought that we have to call him as a sir. And I remember that for some time I was punished a lot of that because of that. And my father wasn't emotionally very controlling, and I was punished for many reasons that I think that wasn't the right way to show me the right things, because it wasn't something that I did wrongly. For any reason, he got nervous, and I suppose that I was the most punished kid. But beside of this point, my father was a good father, and my mom was more tolerant. And I never see them in any dishonest behavior. As we say here, and probably in your countries as well, example taught teach better than words. Maybe I have told you that I can't complain in general about my parents. I only would like that they have them. They were more educated because my life, I suppose, would have been easier. But I don't know. It's not. There isn't a rule for that. because I have seen some people that have a higher social level, well-educated parents, and they didn't follow exactly a good way on their lives. I think any case is different from any other. Did I answer your question or not?
No, it's the quite the answer is fine. I mean, I think in both your cases, it just shows that parenting a hugely difficult subject. I don't think that there's no guidebook, how to educate or to raise your children. I will never forget. I will never forget my father telling me, I was 21. I was still living at home, coming to the end of that period. And I had my first serious girlfriend. And I had a curfew. I had to be home on a weeknight, on a school night, I think by 10 p.m. And on a weekend night, I had to be home by, I think, midnight. And one day I came home after the curfew. I can't remember which day it was. It's not that important. And as luck would have it, my parents or my father noticed that I was late, of the one, of the evenings where I'm out visiting my girlfriend, the one night where I come home late for whatever reason. And my father finds out about it. And I get a dressing down, and I get told I'm 21 years old, about to leave home, move into my own digs. I get told that as long as I am under his roof, I have to do as he says. Democracy has no place in the home. I was 21, I'm now 64. That sentence has never left my thoughts. We broke at one point, my parents and I, and then we rebuilt the relationship. So parenting is a minefield, hard to say. Isma, how was the relationship with your sisters when you were a kid? Was it as fractious as it is now, or did you have a good relationship?
I would say that till 20 or to 30 years ago, it wasn't so bad as now. Mainly with my oldest sister, when I was outside during my career, he wrote to me many letters, but the youngest. If he had written a letter, maybe one or two, our relation wasn't so good as with the oldest one. But since 30 years ago, our relation isn't good. And now, as my mama has her own needs, it's worse. Because they think that it's only my obligation. And I am the evil person because I say something for them and they get angry with me. I think I'm the only right person in this question, in this problem.
So, how much time a week do you spend looking after your mother?
I would say that I stay with her at least 25 days a day. For
25.
example, today is Monday. It's not my day. I'm here because my sister didn't want to take my mom to the clinic. I have to change the Sunday because the next Sunday will be my Sunday. Then I stay here yesterday to take my mom to the clinic because my sister didn't want to take her to the clinic. And I mean, having Crescent here as her home. Then I will last, will finish the class in
10
10
minutes.
minutes. Then today I will buy lunch out to each at home. And before 4 p.m., I have to take her to the Pilates class, and then I went to my home before that. I only go only after Pilates class because in 5 years my sister have never taken my mom to the Pilates class. When I went to Curitiba for 3 times, my mom has to cancel her Pilates class because they want to take my mom to the Pilates classes.
So you spend a lot of time and a lot of energy doing things for your mother. This is a very difficult question. Maybe too difficult to answer. I'll leave that one for you. When was the last time someone took care of you in a simple, ordinary way?
Can you say again, please?
When was the last time someone took care of you in a simple and ordinary way? When someone did something for you?
Took care of me. Last Friday, I had to undergo to a endoscopy exam. It's correct the pronunciation, endoscopy. And my mom went with me. We got an Uber car because I couldn't drive, and my mom went with me. I think it was the last time
So
because I have no one else to ask for.
your 87-year-old mother looked after her 64-year-old son as he went to his endoscopic
Yes.
examination.
If my sister and I have a good relationship, I could ask her for one of them. But if we don't have a good relationship, then I can't ask them.
Ritesh, also not an easy question. If you go back the last 10, 15, 15 years, or maybe just the last 10 years, who is an ordinary person in your life, who influenced you deeply? Not through any advice, but simply how that person lived or behaved on a day-to-day basis.
There are many people in that case, that scenario. It's can be family level, at work level, workplace, and I just want to say one of my friend. his grandparents, grandfather was so old that he cannot leave bed, and he has to take care of him. He has to take to him bathroom and wash him and all the things. And in this conversation, I remember him that when I went, I lived with him for a month, more than a month. Not more than a month, it may be 6 months, because during COVID time, because he has a home separate from everywhere, and we can live there. And at 4 in the morning, he will wake up, go and take his grandpa father and take him to washroom and clean him, feed him, do everything in the morning while I was sleeping. I think in that case, if in this conversation, I feel that he was an inspiration, that looking at his grandfather. Some of the people say that because of he was getting pension, or and because of that he was taking care. But what I see that so many people, they have their parents like that, grandfather, but they don't do such kind of effort to give him the give them a good life. So I can say that he's a really, really inspiration for me. And if I, whenever I talk, like whenever I think about this situation, I always think that if something is required required for me to do, I will try to do like him. And in that scenario, I try to say, try to think to make my expenses or living in a way that I can save enough, so that if I don't have to work and do those thing for, so that I can do, and I don't have to ask someone else to do. I can do. So I think I can say that he was, or he is, good inspiration for me.
I can imagine. I can imagine. Okay, gentlemen, it's nearing the end of the topic of the hour. We are going to meet next Monday, the 22nd. Are you both available, or do you want to take Isma, you are available. Ritesh, how about you? You on board, or in theory?
I'm on leave that day, but if I'm at home, I will join, but I will not confirm that I will be there on
Okay.
22nd. Yeah.
Okay, so okay. So I'm going to make it a little bit motivational for you.
But if you allow me, I have a question for you.
Yes.
When you was 21, your father told you, till you live here, you have to live under my roof.
Yeah.
In that moment, you think that your father were wrong, and today you think that you're right. If you have a younger kid under your rule, under your roof, would you say her to say to her or to him the same words?
Probably not. But I can't actually tell you why at the moment. There's two aspects to this. So as As you both may or may not know, I actually have a daughter, but I have very, very little contact to her, and I was not involved in the upbringing of our daughter, because my wife and I divorced, and she was living in Ireland, and I was living in Germany, so there was a distance problem. There were a whole lot of personal issues as well. So from that point of view, I can't really, I don't think I'm qualified to speak about parenting. That said, my general approach is less, maybe I can answer it, in this way. As you both may or also may or may not know, my mother lives with us here in this house. And my mother and my wife, putting it mildly, do not always see eye to eye. And I find myself in a dual role of being a husband and a son at the same time. And the two roles are not always mutually compatible. So I am in a lot of situations, I am forced to seek a compromise. So the best answer I can give to your question, Isma, is that I probably would not say this to my child, as my father told me. I would, without having any direct parenting experience, or not very much, I would try to see the bigger picture, to understand the context of why something has happened. And I would always assume that a child does not do something deliberately unless it tests boundaries, but there is a reason that something happened and that the child needs a chance to explain this in order to avoid any misunderstandings. So there has to be there has to be a deep, deep trust between the child and the parent, not just on an emotional level, but also on an intellectual level, that the child will feel secure to say what has to be said without fear of punishment or without fear of consequences. And that raises a spirit of tolerance. So I think trust and tolerance are the two foundations on which that whole relationship rests. But like I said, I'm not qualified as a parent to say that because this, you know, I don't have that parenting experience. But I think instinctively I would not say this to my children. But I would still expect discipline and respect. But it's a two-way street. You cannot discipline and respect somebody if they do not know how to return the discipline and the respect. Yeah, and so parents are role models, and they have to try and live as best as they can the values that they want to instill in their children. They have to understand that as well, and that's where your education comes in. Yeah, parents' education levels and systems were different when we were kids and our parents were young. Yeah, just like Ritesh said that he would raise his children differently to the way he was raised. First, for A, times have changed, values have changed, but secondly, he also has to respect and tolerate and understand his wife's position because she is part of the discipline and raising process. Yeah, it's a minefield. Yeah, Does that answer your question, Isma? Okay.
Thank you. Okay, guys.
Just a
I hope you have a nice week.
just a minute. I've got to get through my coughing fit. So next week, because we're having an extra session, there's nothing planned for it. So I'm going to throw myself open to questions from you. Okay, so
Yes.
I've spent a year questioning you. So I'm going to take the back seat and you can ask questions to me. The subject is of your choice. So, Ritesh, I hope to see you on Monday. Okay.
Okay, bye. Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.